Welcome to Barefoot Autism Warriors podcast. I'm Ninka Benedict Mauritsen and I freed my son from symptoms of autism. This podcast is my way of giving back. I share the unique approach to autism which got my son from one of the most severe cases of endless tantrums, rituals, stimming, sleepless nights, aggression and lack of eye contact to a life without any symptoms. I also share how this journey connected me to my life purpose and made me lose 44 pounds, getting rid of anxiety and depression, plus help my entire family. This podcast is for those who don't subscribe to one-size-fits-all solutions, who do not accept the notion of there's nothing you can do. This podcast is for those who believe in healing, spirituality, biohacking, brain development, ancestral health, and wake-up calls. Autism is a sacred wake-up call, and this is a place to be, to wake up to change and transformation. Today we're going to go back to basics, back to food, lifestyle, environment, and what to do for autism. So people often ask me, Ninka, if you were to go back in time, back to the beginning, what were some of the most transformational and most effective things you did with the lifestyle and food and environment changes that was the most bang for the buck? Anyone can implement what I'm about to share right now and create real change. And I mean real change. I have seen women use what I'm about to tell you and teach you in this podcast and see their children go from not speaking to speaking within weeks simply by implementing these free steps in nature. And that's why I love to share this. Where can you start to create real change for free at home? Now, you all know I'm not a practitioner, I'm not a doctor, I'm not here to diagnose or treat anything or take responsibility for any side effects that might happen as you go through these tools and tips and lifestyle changes. I'm simply a mom sharing what worked for me and what works for hundreds of moms right now as we speak. I think you deserve to know. So foundation is back to the basics. It's not for those who want a quick fix, because quick fixes without foundation is a guarantee for failure. So without a foundation, you cannot build the house of healing. The house of healing needs a strong foundation. That actually means that you can be strong through challenge and see better results, and you can see long-term lasting results, not just, oh, something happened and then my child got a bit better on this diet and then now there's regression and now he feels worse and then he feels better and now he feels worse. So there's no doubt when you have been given the certificate to the school of life called autism, you will be stretched, you will go through amazingly hard challenges when you decide to become a warrior who turns autism around. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it, and it's going to change your life and your child. And as I always say when I talk about autism turnarounds, autism is a wake-up call, and it's asking you to change big time. The more prepared you are for this change and the more you know about the foundation and integration, the stronger you will stand in the storm and in challenging time. Because when we go into a phase of healing, when we go into a phase where we are turning something around that is a full spectrum crisis, biomedical, biochemical, neurological crisis, it's an emotional crisis, a spiritual crisis, a biological crisis, and an existential crisis called autism, the more we work on our foundation, the further we can take this healing journey to transform your child and your life. And in order to do that, you need to be healthy and you need to know that you need to change. So you have to change your environment, your food, and your lifestyle to change your child. I've talked a lot about mindset in previous podcasts, and please do go back and listen to those, because that is the step number one to be able to implement this. This is like training for a marathon. This is like going to war. This is like bringing yourself back from the darkest place, but also bringing yourself to a place so full of light and healing that you can't even imagine right now. So you will not become who you were. You will not go back to who you once were. You will go to a much more meaningful place, a much stronger place with your child and for yourself and with your own health. But let me break down the step-by-step most important things to do in the right order to turn autism around. And those are also the things that I did when my son was diagnosed and I decided I'm not going to accept that this is for life. And that's why he has no symptoms left. He went from stimming, lining things up, violent behavior, sleepless nights, no eye contact, no physical contact, no bonding, no learning, violent behavior, always in danger, throwing himself in front of cars and trains and from balconies and into swimming pools, to none of those symptoms and a neurotypical life. So the most important thing after changing your mindset, and please go back and revisit previous podcasts about this, or go to my website to enter the free 3-step course to change your mindset to turn autism around at barefootautismwarriors.com. The number one most thing that you need to do is to change your environment and lifestyle. You need to get outdoors. All the best mentors that I have had and all the best practitioners out there know this, and they will tell you, you cannot get well in the same environment that made you sick. Which means if you live in a very stressful situation, in a toxic relationship, and you have a toxic relationship to yourself, and you live indoors a lot, and you're not outside a lot, and you have been disconnected from nature and from the healing capacity and the cycles and the rhythms of nature, which is tuned to your bio clock, there's a mismatch. We cannot live a modern toxic zoo-like existence indoors and expect to heal our children by implementing some food and supplement hacks. It's never going to happen. It's never going to work. So the number one thing to do after changing your mindset is to understand that these children, they have been abducted from Mother Nature. They need to get back outdoors. And this is actually something that I'm going to cover in an upcoming podcast. I have invited Clint Ober, who's a leading expert in grounding, on to a conversation about why it is that grounding is so important for autism. So you can look forward to that podcast. It's coming up real soon. I already recorded it and it's in the editing phase. So it will be after this podcast. Okay. So we cannot heal indoors and we cannot heal in the same environment that got us sick. We need to be outside. We're actually designed to be outdoors, naked, with no shoes on all day long. That's how our body's designed to balance out hormones, to make sure that we have a strong immune system with less oxidative stress and inflammation. So if we were in the natural environment, which you can just look at animals in the wild, we wouldn't be sick. And they are not sick. They don't have cancer. They don't have autism. They don't have behavioral issues. Unless you lock an animal into a cage or you put animals indoors and they behave strangely as well. So a new beginning is about getting outdoors as much as possible. And this is a free tip. It is so effective. And you literally need to get outside, take your child outside, take their shoes off and have them ground their feet to either grass or concrete or sand or water daily, as preferably 30 minutes per day. So we are only able to absorb the negative charge from the ground by being on the ground, by being connected to the ground. And most kids live their lives indoors ungrounded. So we have rubber soles, or we are indoors and we sleep ungrounded, where we're designed to sleep on the grass, on the ground, to charge our bodies, to ground our bodies to the earth. Which means that we live ungrounded, and that's a cause for inflammation, it's a cause for all chronic disease and behavioral issues as well, inflammation. It's a really big problem that we are living ungrounded. So I cannot wait to dive into this in the next podcast with you, where you'll get all the details and access to all the science behind it. But for now, just know that the more time you can spend outdoors with your child, the better. Your child needs natural light on the skin in the AM hours, preferably, and when the sun goes down. That's also a big part of the child being able to regulate melatonin, sleep well at night, have a strong immune system, balance out hormones, and de-stress. It is extremely stressful for a being of nature to be locked up inside and be ungrounded and unexposed to the full spectrum light of the sun and the daylight, which is what we need to set off all different kinds of signaling in the body, whether it's for the thyroid, whether it's for the sleep hormones later in the day, or any other function in the body. We're designed to respond to light via the main body clock, which is located in the eye, and via the many clocks, body clocks and receptors that we have on the skin surface. They're there for a reason, and we have become so detached from that natural regulating system outside in nature that we underestimate how sick it's getting us, how sick we are because we're not in contact with nature physically. And if we look at children and we compare them to animals, and we also look at children who had a more natural childhood back before the 70s, 80s even, we were outside a lot. We were playing a lot. We had bare feet a lot. We took off our shoes and spent time outdoors. And that's what we are designed to do. And since we got indoors and put our shoes on and were exposed to artificial light instead of daylight, they've just gone downhill. So if someone asks me what is the most effective hack lifestyle change that you see has the most effect on most children, I would say getting them outdoors every day at least for 30 minutes. And that is something that I have seen create tremendous results when it comes to changing both behavior and health and sleep and eating patterns, because just like animals are designed to respond to the frequencies of the plants and the frequency coming from the earth and the light coming from the sun and the electromagnetism, the information that comes from the elements and from the sun and the moon and the earth, just like animals are designed to respond to that. And I've given this example a lot because I think it's so important. Animals know what plants to eat and what plants to stay away from. Animals know how to constantly circulate what they eat. They don't eat the same thing all the time. They constantly regulate and rotate what plants they go for, depending on their inner health and inner situation. And if there's parasites or any form of disease, they self-regulate. And children who are not exposed to indoor lifestyle or not exposed to processed unnatural food, and children who are not abducted from the way that we are naturally born to live in harmony with nature, they are self-selective and they will choose all foods, bitter and sweet and vegetables and berries and nuts and liver and meat, and they will regulate depending on what's needed for the body at any given time on any given day. We have lost that nutrient wisdom, and that means that now we are just, our children have lost that contact, have lost that nutritional wisdom, that nutritional power, that nutritional self-regulating and self-healing capacity. And you can take your child back to that capability. And the first step is by getting your child out in nature and get your child to walk barefoot in nature and let your child be around animals. Let your child be in the forest. Let your child be outdoors. Let your child slow down the speed. I remember this one sentence that just kept playing in my head when I understood that our lifestyle in the city stressed out living a completely toxic life in the city, detached from each other and from our tribe and detached from nature. And at such a high pace that my soul couldn't keep up and my heart couldn't keep up with it and my body could not keep up with it. And of course, my children's bodies, hearts and soul could not keep up with it. I thought, wow, my children have never seen a starlit sky because they're always in the city where there's so much light. They don't see the stars in the sky at night. And I think that's a massive problem. That is something big that they're missing out on, something magical, something profound. My children, do not walk with me through the wet grass at a speed where we can look at snails passing by slowly, smell the flowers, have plenty of time to absorb the frequency and the smell and the presence and the healing capacity of nature. We didn't have that in the city. And so one of the big game changers for us was to get out of the city and into the nature. And you can even go to parks, you can go away on the weekends, you can win if you travel, if you have that possibility, if you can travel to remote areas in during your vacations instead of going on city breaks. Get back and give the children back to Mother Nature. They've been abducted. And you don't solve a pain and a grief on a soul level and on a cellular level that is created because the child has been abducted. You don't solve that with a supplement. You don't solve that with a diet because this is an existential grief. The children need to go back in nature and we need to walk with them. So that is step number one. When it comes to environment and natural lifestyle and being outdoors, it's also important to get your child to drink clean water. So filter your water, preferably filter your shower water as well, because the chlorine and the fluoride and the pesticides and the hormones and the heavy metals are damaging to the cells. And you need clean water to charge the mitochondria. So we are like batteries. We run on light, we run on water, and we run on electromagnetism, so electric currents. And we're getting none of it. We're not getting light, we're not getting water, we're not getting charged with the negative frequency from the earth. So we are constantly positively charged, and that's what's creating all the inflammation and the chronic disease in many kids. So clean water, you can look for spring water that you can collect, or make sure that you're filtering your water as well. Number two, a new beginning, a new day, a good day starts the night before with a restorative sleep. And that's a perfect place to go to after having talked about how important it is to get outside to regulate melatonin and sleep at night. So a restorative sleep, deep sleep all night long without waking up at night, starts by going to bed early, starts by turning down the lights a bit in the evening. Maybe light a candle or a fire outside. Get into the darkness and the red light that will calm you down and will tell the body that it's time to sleep, and turn on melatonin and calm down the nervous system and minimize the stress hormones in the body. It's really important to sleep a restorative sleep to repair at night. It's important for detoxification, it's important for cellular repair, it's important for hormonal balance, it's important for mood and healing, it's important for health and learning the next day as well. So when we sleep, the body literally flushes out toxins and makes sure that we burn fat, make sure that we detoxify, make sure that we process the experiences that we've had emotionally. So it's like a shower, an internal shower of all of your organs, including the brain, and all of the emotional debris that's in the body is being flushed through the system when we sleep at night. That's where we repair, and that's where we heal. And that's why it's a really good idea to drink a big glass of water when we wake up the next day. So you can optimize sleep by doing a couple of things. A really good tip that we use almost from day one in the autism turnaround process for our child was that we dumped him in an Epsom salt bath in the evening. So of course we watched over him while he was in that bath, but we had a bathtub and we added a cup or two of Epsom salt into it. It was a big bathtub. And he would be sitting there for 15 minutes. And what it does is that it relaxes the muscle. And it's used for racehorses for the same reason the day before a race. But it also provides the body with a very bioavailable form of magnesium, which is, we know that magnesium, lack of magnesium, often is linked to sleep issues. And then Epsom salt also detoxifies the body. So it's like a three bangs for your buck by using Epsom salt. If you don't have a bathtub, you might be able to buy one that is inflatable or like a sink tub, or you can use foot soaks as well. You can optimize your child's sleep by cooling down the room, making sure it's pitch black. So use blackout blinds so that there's no light, no electronics, no electronic clocks, no Wi-Fi or tablets or mobiles or anything with light or electronics turned on in the bedroom. And then blackout blinds so that there's no light coming from the outside as well. About 18 degrees is the optimal sleeping temperature. That's about 64.4 Fahrenheit, I believe. So if you can have a window open and it's safe, has to be safe, of course, then that might be a good idea. And no super late night snacking. So eating a lot of food after 6 o'clock has a tendency to affect the sleep negatively. We normally stop eating after six. This is not a rigid rule. And sometimes you're hungry and sometimes you just need something to comfort you. And sometimes a night smoothie can help children sleep better as well, actually. So there's no rule without exception. Sometimes when my children were in the beginning of our lifestyle change, because they used to eat such unhealthy diets, pizza and pasta and candy and white bread and cereal and all that crap and inflammatory industrial seed oils, their blood sugar, you know, it was just horrible. So in the beginning, they needed a really nutritious smoothie in the evening, and we made a smoothie made from organic raspberries, half a banana, some cashew or hemp milk, and some great macadamia oil or avocado oil, a bit of lemon to give it taste. And that's a really good sleep aid if the child wakes up because the child is hungry during the night. Next tip is do one little thing. You know, you don't have to do everything at once, but changing one thing will gradually move things around. It will move the needle. And one meal that is really bang for the buck, one meal that is really important to change is a breakfast. And what we did quite early on was have fun with it. So what we did was we wanted our children to have a really nutritious meal with all the important ingredients. So we wanted good proteins, complete amino acid chains, we wanted the good fats, we wanted the good fibers, we wanted the good starches, we wanted the good vitamins and minerals and vegetables. So what we did was we started to serve dinner for breakfast. Now, I'm not saying get up and boil vegetables and fry up steaks and spend a lot of time on that. No, actually what we did was we served our children the leftovers from dinner for breakfast. And so we went in the beginning, we went straight for all their favorite dishes and we reinvented them. So we made healthy versions of burger. And then they would have a burger with a gluten-free, grain-free, unprocessed bread, or just a bun-free burger and some oven-roasted potatoes and sweet potatoes that we then just heated up on the frying pan in the morning. Or it could just be eggs and bacon and chopped raw vegetables in all kinds of colors and some berries. But dinner is a really, really powerful meal. And most children have a favorite dinner meal that you then can give them in the morning, and then they'll feel, woo, we're being all crazy here. I'm being spoiled. I'm getting my favorite dish for breakfast. Much more fun, easy, and nutritious than oatmeal or a smoothie bowl or a whatever, cereal, whatever. Most people make smoothies all wrong, so they just create smoothies from berries and rice milk and something very sugary. So it just raises the blood sugar and the child will be hungry a couple of hours later, and there's no real nutrition in it because there's no protein, there's no fats or anything. So instead of protein powder, what we did was we used egg whites and egg yolks. And if you don't have a salmonella-free version of that in your country, you'll have to go for pasteurized. So dinner for breakfast. It can be chicken with homemade oven-baked fries. It can be steak and raw veggies. It can be bunless burgers. It can be a lasagna without the pasta. It can be moussaka, whatever your child loves. Or maybe a spaghetti bolognese with a gluten-free pasta or some rice. So that's a really good beginner's tip for getting your child to enjoy real food and be less prone to snack during the day. The next step is thinking a little bit different. So cutting out the foods that are really not beneficial for autism and adding in the most nutritious and most important macronutrients and micronutrients. So most people focus on what to exclude, what not to eat, but what we do eat, much more important, or at least as important as what we don't eat. So I'll get to what to exclude. But I just want to say that in order to feed the microbiome, in order to make sure that your child is able to detoxify and repair cells and learn, in order for your child to be able to regulate neurotransmitters and methylate and all the things and have a super strong detoxification pathway going on and all those things, we need the right nutrients to be able to do that. And many moms are so scared of berries and fruit and yeast and all those things that they cut out very important key nutrients. And that is going to make problems worse, make matters worse, because if we cut out the food for the microbiome, how are you going to have a great immune system and a good detoxification system and a good elimination process? Doesn't work. So what you add in is really important. And in order to digest and detoxify and really get the most out of the food that your child eats, it's really important to think about eating environment. Don't be stressing about what your child eats. Don't be staring at your child and be all scared that your child won't have enough food and negotiate and plead or even reward your child for eating, because then it becomes a performance, it becomes a stressful environment. And your child senses this, no matter if you say it or not, your child will sense whether you're causing stress around the table. What increases the health and the balance and the microbiome, the function of the microbiome, is to be around other people when we eat, to be exposed to different types of bacteria and microbiome strains from other people, to be around animals. That's what we did when we lived in the wild. We were around animals. Animals were all around us, and so were their bacteria and their microbiome strains and all that stuff, all that good stuff. All the soil we used to live, to eat outdoors, we were exposed to the soil, exposed to animals, exposed to the ground and the earth and the dirt. And so get your child to eat more outdoors. Get your child to eat around tribes and animals, and make sure that we live as close to nature as possible. That is also going to enhance digestion and utilization of the nutrients that you give your child. So what you give is equally important. So give your child... Did you know, for example, that the microbiome needs different kinds of sources of fiber to be able to work properly? And so parts of that internal organism inside you needs pears. Other parts of you needs apples, and you need sweet potatoes and boiled potatoes. And what is really important to understand is that you need cooked and cooled vegetables for your microbiome. If you're completely low carb, no carb, you will miss out on some really, really beneficial foods for your microbiome, such as cooked and cooled vegetables, starchy vegetables, because they have this resistant starches in them, which is the most important food for the microbiome. So berries and all kinds of fruits, and make sure that you rotate the food as well. So make sure that you give your child all the basic nutrients, the macros, so fish, seafood, game, wild caught fish, and chicken and bird and meat, grass-fed organic meat preferably, lamb, maybe a bit of liver every once in a while, and all the vegetables, so preferably cooked vegetables like broccoli and cauliflower, and cooked and cooled vegetables like sweet potato and potatoes and all the good stuff. whatever your child loves. And then a bit of raw potatoes, a bit of raw vegetables, if your child can handle it. It's actually really hard to digest raw salad and raw vegetables. So if the child's digestion is compromised, the digestive system is not really working well yet, then that's probably not a good idea in the beginning with all the raw vegetables and juicing and salads at all. So hold off on that in the beginning if your child needs to restore the gut. What do we eat then if we want to support our children? Just know that that will change all the time, and it will be depending on the stress levels, depending on how your child feels, depending on growth spurts and where you live and genetics and all kinds of things. So you need to learn how to know yourself enough and how to be in tune with your intuition and the nutritional wisdom to a degree where you can read your child's feedback, look at your child, and adjust accordingly. And the only reason why you can't do that now is because you're detached from your own body and your own intuition, and you don't know how to do that for yourself. So that is some of the things that I teach a lot in my courses to get you back to that state, because without it, you'll always be confused. You'll always feel that you have to ask someone else, what do I feed my child? What supplements are good for my child, if any? You know what I say, there are no safe supplements and there are no safe autism diets. So there's no way around this. But what are some of the things that's definitely not good for our children at all? Any children, and especially for our children on the spectrum. Vegetable oils, seed oils, margarine. So that's the canola oils, the corn oils, the cotton oil, the rapeseed oil. All those oils has been processed and heated and deodorized, and they are just full of toxic residue. They are so overprocessed and inflammatory. So they have chemical residues, they have trans fats in them, they are oxidized, they're toxic, and the omega-6-to-3 ratio is completely screwed. It's got something called lipid peroxides, and that has a reputation for causing both chronic disease and DNA damage and promotes aging, and it's just bad. It's really bad. It's heated at very high temperature, then it's oxidized, it's processed with petroleum-based solvents, and then it's deodorized because it will smell so bad that you would never use it if it wasn't. And often they add chemicals to change the color as well. So safflower oil and margarine, soy oil, and corn, canola, and rapeseed oil, especially bad. So go for cold-pressed, virgin, organic olive oil, avocado oil, coconut oil, or lard if you want to fry in it. And if you can tolerate ghee or butter, then you can use that as well. But many can't, because what we stay away from as well is gluten, dairy, and soy and processed foods. So those are the main triggers, and those are the ones that causes the most problems. I'm not going to go into depth right now about the opioid reactions, the way that it can trigger anyone to create a lot of problems in the gut, such as leaky gut, inflammation. And dairy is also linked to ear infections and inflammation. And gluten is known to cause autoimmune reactions. The non-celiac gluten sensitivity is getting more and more press right now, because it's real and it's bad, and it's affecting much more people than will ever be picked up in tests. So most of the tests that you can get by the doctor will be falsely negative. So it's just a good idea to stay away from gluten and dairy. The opioid reactions is something that I saw in my child immediately. I can see it, and I could see it immediately back then, how when he had dairy, because of this opioid activity that it can create in the brain, your child can get either hyperactive or apathic from gluten and dairy. It has to do with the casein in the dairy, not so much the lactose, but the casein in the dairy and the gluten proteins in gluten. Soy has similar effects, and it's really hard to digest, so it's not a good alternative. What we use instead is cashew milk, sometimes some almond milk. You got to be careful though, because it's very high in copper. Sometimes coconut milk, and sometimes just water. and you can get almond, you can get almond cheese, but I don't use vegan cheeses because they're so overprocessed as well. So gluten and dairy, something that can really ruin the mood, ruin the sleep, create constipation, create bloating, create ear infections, disturb the nights, and it's just shitty, you know, and it makes life so much easier by cutting those food items out. We got our sleep back, we got eye contact back, he stopped coughing, he got off asthma medication because it turned out he wasn't even asthmatic, he was dairy intolerant. Same with the ear infections and the ear pain. And there's a lot of studies out there showing this, by the way. So any processed food, anything with long lists of ingredients on the back of the package, stay away from it. If you don't know what it is, neither does your body. So what do we eat? We eat food that feeds the microbiome and supports the thyroid and creates gut health and makes sure that our children can detoxify, make sure that they've got what they need for brain learning and sleep and cellular repair and get all the vitamins and minerals that they need. So fruit, berries, cooked and cool vegetables, a bit of raw vegetables maybe, seafood, game, meat, chicken, fish, good fats and nuts if your child can tolerate it. And then make sure that you drink plenty of clean water. And some of the best filters are the reverse osmosis filters. And the best filter on the market right now is probably the one called Aqua True. Aqua True, I have no connection to that company. I just know that this one is a good one. Make sure that if you have a water filter that it filters out fluoride, chlorine, hormones, heavy metals, pesticides and insecticides as well. So the last two basic, back to basics, foundation pieces of the puzzle is movement outdoors. Anything that supports balance, coordination, cross coordination, crawling, creeping, standing on one leg, all the old time, old fashioned games where we would jump on one leg, play ball, skip, roll around, run, crawl, creep, play hide and seek. Be in the nature, be in the elements, be in the, you know, go to the woods, go play by the beach. But outdoor movement was a major player in my son's autism turnaround. And he was outdoor moving every single day. And it was super hard, but it had a huge effect on him. And then the last thing is tribe, because tribe, belonging to a tribe, having a purpose, being intimate, bonding with your family, being together when we're eating without background noises from the TV, and making sure that we are spending time in peace, is regulating the nervous system, is creating peace and safety. And all of these children are stressed, their nervous system is constantly in a state of either fight, flight, freeze, or the dorsal state where it's just apathic, cannot engage, don't feel safe enough to be connected to the tribe and bond and have eye contact. That's one thing that I really saw in my child change as he was healing. And the nervous system is so important for this. Being part of a tribe, having peace and calm, and also being outside, having a calm nervous system for rest, repair, bonding, and connecting is incredibly important for the autism turnaround. And being around animals helps a lot, but having a purpose in the tribe. Back in the day, children would help with the fire and with the animals and the cooking, and now they just sit around watching TV. They have no purpose. And this is what I mean when we go through all this, as a last comment from me, is that this is an existential crisis. Autism is not a one cause, one solution situation. It's an existential crisis. It's an emotional crisis. It's a biological crisis. It's a biochemical crisis. It's a biomedical crisis. It's an emotional crisis, and it's a spiritual crisis. So we need to think holistically when we approach the autism turnaround process. We need to stop focusing myopically on one thing, and we need to see full spectrum. We need to view this as a full spectrum holistic journey and a holistic meltdown situation that we need to address. So I hope that this gives you an idea about the foundational things that I did to turn autism around that you can do for free at home, which is all about remembering who we are. We are nature. We are tribe people. We are designed to be around each other, and we are designed to be in nature. We are created to be part of this big, beautiful organism, this cosmos. This balance. And the less we are, the more detached we are from each other and from nature and from the rhythms and the cycles and the healing capacity of nature, the more we will struggle, the more we will suffer, the sicker we are. So I'm just wishing you a really profound healing experience. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but I'm saying you can do this, because this is not about someone telling you what to do. This is about you remembering who you are and who you have become. If you liked this podcast, one thing that would help me so much to bring this message, this reunion, this reconnection, and this healing process to as many moms and children as humanly possible, is that you go to iTunes, you press star number 5 if you think that that's what it's worth. You subscribe to the podcast and you leave a review, because that is really something that matters in the algorithm, that people notice and that iTunes notices that this is something that's valuable and worth putting out there. So share it with a friend, leave a comment. It means a lot to me, and it means a lot to the message and to the revolution of turning autism around, which so many people all over the world right now do not know that this is even possible. So thank you for being here, and feel free to write me at barefootautismwarriors.com. Follow me on Facebook, Ninka Bernadette Mauritson. Join my free Facebook group, barefootautismwarriors.com, or join me on Instagram, Ninka Bernadette Mauritson. And I hope you'll subscribe to this podcast so that you will be notified next time. And next time, very soon, you'll be hearing more about grounding from the biggest influential leader in that field, Clint Ober. And I cannot wait to share that with you. See you soon.